Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you. Opposition?
Sure.
Persecute you? Shall say all manner of evil against you falsely? For my sake? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Jesus, in giving these Beatitudes at the very end of each one, he states the benefit of endurance, or the benefit or the blessing of choosing that particular direction in life. And he mentions the kingdom of heaven, reward in heaven. So put in your notes, we would be greatly discouraged. At least when I would check these notes up, I think I would. I'd be greatly discouraged without any stated benefit. If we only had the message in the Bible, you know, if you choose this course of life, it's going to be nothing but hardship, and you can't expect anything beautiful in return. I'd be discouraged. I need a stated benefit. I enjoy a stated blessing. So what I did in your notes, at least in my notes, I've written all these scriptures out, typed them out, but here's a list of the opposition in discipleship. It will come. It's not always because we've done something wrong. But the Bible just has been very open with us, knowing that there will be some hardships, troublesome times, just because of the decision we made to be followers of Jesus. I just gave you the verses, but I have them listed down. I'm just going to read them. Mentioned in the Bible class this morning, we were talking about preaching. It was in our class book. Preaching and different mannerisms or styles or even content in preaching. Kind of made a contrast just very briefly on messages that the local or the congregational minister may teach versus one who's been called in to preach a revival or a gospel message. And so in a congregational setting, I have the privilege or the blessing of giving a different kinds of lessons, or maybe building a lesson on the one that was previously taught, or maybe even delivering a lesson with a different style, and that's what this lesson is, because I'm just going to read you a series of scriptures. I probably wouldn't do that if I were preaching in a revival at a neighboring congregation. I probably wouldn't use an outline like this. But we can do that because we kind of know each other and we've kind of been building toward a closing thought like this. So just kind of listen. You're welcome if you're fast enough to follow along as I read. Matthew 10, again, this is a list of the opposition in discipleship. Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Wow. "Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. They will scourge you in the synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." You just look at you wonder, Jesus, I thought you wanted the following. you need to be more encouraging. But he's very open with those who would be followers of him about what to expect on both sides of it. The heart, the opposition, but also the opportunity. In verse 22, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved." Well, I need to hear that. I need to hear about endurance and salvation. Verses 34 through 36. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall they be of his own household." I don't see this very often. I have in all the years that I've preached. And I remember a young man years and years ago name was Pete Zelahusky, and he made a choice as a teenager to become a Christian. When he made that decision, his parents said, "Don't come home." Well, the deacons in the congregation took him home. Wasn't but 2.5 or 3 weeks later, the mom and dad said, "Come on home, Pete." They realized the seriousness, or that he was serious in that decision. But Jesus forewarned us. It may be, the foes may be of your own household, because people are not converted by all the time by household, but maybe perhaps by an individual in that household. In John 15, verse 18, I said I was just going to read these. Sometimes I can't help but comment. John 15, beginning of verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Verse 21. But all these things they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. I need to hear that. In the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In Acts chapter 5, verse 17, here we have an illustration or an experience of discipleship. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with them, and laid their hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, brought them forth, and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." I'd want to say to the angel, "Wait a minute, that's what got us put into prison." But the angel delivers them, says, "Keep doing what you have been doing." The story continues. The captain and the temple officers, they heard about them preaching now that the angel let them go. They brought them again before the council. Now the story picks up in verse 28. And the council said, "Did we not straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name?" Didn't we say that? "And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And when that's your philosophy of life, when that's our call to discipleship, there may come a time when we are brought before government. In verse 41, when they had called the apostles, because they went out and preached again back before the council, so they called the apostles and had beaten them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach and to teach Jesus Christ. The opposition continues in Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church at Jerusalem. In Acts 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11, and Paul gives a list or a catalog of events that he expected to happen to him and those who became followers of his teaching. 1 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 11. "Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, have no uncertain dwelling place, and labor working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things to this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Ooh. 2 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions or tribulation, that we, why would God comfort us in our tribulation? And he gives the answer. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. So he says, God comforts us in our tribulations so that we may use the same comfort that God gives us to comfort another who's going through a tribulation. So we have to have a time of self-inspection or examination. God, how have you blessed my life in this time of trouble? Not only am I going to say thank you for that comfort, but I'm going to use that to help my brother who's in trouble too. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, very popular verse. If I start the verse, I know you can finish it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 17. For our light affliction, I always smile when I read that phrase, light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, God's been very open again in describing what we can expect, especially the disciples in the first century. That was Christianity, even though it flourished, it was very unpopular because Christianity was presented not as a religion among many by which the people could pick and choose. Christianity was presented as the only way of salvation. Jesus presented himself, I am the way, not a way among many. I am the truth, not a truth. He said, I am the life, not a life among many, I am the life. And those that come to the Father must come to him by me. Well, that what would they expect is that persecution from everyone else who disagreed with them. So just by merely going into all the world and preaching the gospel, by obeying God's commands, it almost was an invitation for persecution. In 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting. Makes me want to be a minister. What can you expect? When you preach God's word, there will be those that will not appreciate it. Again, we've mentioned so many times, right now in our nation, in our generation, and even when I was a child, many times that prayer was said, God, we're thankful that we can meet free, and the phrase was unmolested. When I was small boy, I didn't really understand that. Free and unmolested, what's he talking about? But I understand that now, that picture. Thank you, God, that our government allows us to do that. It may not always be that way. So we need to have forethought, plan ahead, prethink a situation that may come about so that we can last and endure. Because we know with even our missionaries in other countries, they don't always enjoy that, what we think of as freedom to worship in a manner in which we choose. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul gives a personal account. Are they ministers of Christ? Paul's talking about these false teachers. I'm more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been on the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. Wow, your own countrymen and false brethren? I heard one person characterize Christians as people that seem to want to eat their young. We sometimes devour ourselves in our actions. It says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, in other words, all those circumstances I've been placed in. That, hey, last phrase, as a preacher, this one touches. I know it touches you too, it's not just me. That which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Ever heard that phrase, sticks and stones break my bones? Words can never hurt me, but words hurt worse. It's kind of like this. I can last through the prisons, the stripes, the stoning, the journeys, the hunger, the thirst, the fastings, but it's that care that I have for the churches. My presence. When we see brethren that don't measure up to the standard of Jesus, and don't have that commitment that we're describing here, that falter under the persecutions and the hardships, and we care. In Galatians 6, verse 17, the list continues. For I bear in my body the marks of the Master. Bear in my body the marks of the Master. So Paul is saying, when he took a stand, yes, I had this inside hurt. But I also, on the outside, I bear marks because of the stand that I took. Philippians 1, verse 29, for unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. 1 Thessalonians 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Paul is saying, I've told you you're going to have afflictions. Don't let them move you away from God. Don't let them move you away from your source of strength. It's interesting this morning when we received the announcement. Leroy and Cheryl came in the door and said, my dad passed away this morning. I thought, I'm glad you're here. You didn't use the death of your father on a Lord's Day morning to take you away from the assembly. How many of my brethren would have stayed away? I don't answer out loud. Would you have used the death of a family member, the death of your father, to keep you away from the worship assembly on Sunday morning? I complimented her on that on the way out. I said, Cheryl, I'm going to use you as an illustration for the next 3 years, at least. I remember that when my dad had a heart attack back in 1979, he died from it. But went back to Michigan. The hospital back then, you had visiting hours. It wasn't like from 11 to 8 or anything else. They had a slot that you could visit. They kept those slots. But it was I got there on the weekend. But when I got there, it came Lord's Day morning, and I went to the assembly, and I remember specifically there were several people that came and said, "Brian, why are you here and not at the hospital with your dad? It's the Lord's Day. I'm going to be here. I had this appointment long before my dad had a heart attack. Even though I'm out here, you're 2,500 miles away, and you fly back to be with him maybe for that short time, but still, I even as a son, you couldn't get in except for those hour or 2 hour slots. One in the afternoon and one in the evening. I'm not going to go sit in a waiting room on Lord's Day morning while my brethren are assembling in the auditorium for worship. But some of my brethren thought that strange. So when I saw Cheryl Leroy this morning, I want to compliment them. Where is your source of strength? Right here." So when she and Leroy shared that story, you can see brethren gathering around, giving her words of encouragement. I said, "Cheryl, you came to the right place, even though I know you're making arrangements to fly back to Texas."
Where was that?
1 Thessalonians 3.
I know I'm going long here. I'll skip the last of it.
1 Thessalonians 3. "That no man should be moved by these afflictions." Don't move away from your source of strength. "For yourselves know that we were appointed therein. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, as you know." Wow. 2 Thessalonians 1. "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." And we had a whole lesson on just the value and the benefits of suffering. And one of those was, you know, when we've gone through them, we know that we can get through the next one. And then plus when people see that we've gotten through tribulations, it provides a source of strength for them. They say, "If Brian can do it, I can do it too." And they may even come to us and say, "What did you do to get through that? Because I'm going through something similar." Well, that's what Paul is saying right in this verse. "We told you before that you should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." 2 Thessalonians 1. "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience," as one just read. He said, "Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, and that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer." 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." James 1, verse 2. "My brethren, count," in other words, consider, "it all joy when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, and let patience have its perfect work or result." 1 Peter 4, verse 4. "Wherein they think it strange," the people of the world, others, "they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot." Why aren't you coming with us, living a riotous life? "So they speak evil of you." 1 Peter 4, 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Don't think it's strange because we suffer. Verse 16, 1 Peter 4. "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in this behalf." Revelation 6, 9. "I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Wow. An article, I'll save this for another time, but I'll read it for you. I just put the highlights. It was in the Mount Vernon Messenger by a man named Greg Cummins. I just put the main points in the verses for you so you can read those verses on your own, and I know you will. In closing, just a couple verses. You know, the promise of God is, and I put these in your last, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. You think just because we're a Christian that our temptations and struggles and hardships are any different than people who are not Christians? These troubles are common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, and will with every temptation provide a way of escape. We need to look beyond this life. Romans 8, verse 18, the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, the last one, for which cause we faint not. We don't faint. Don't give up. We faint not. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Again, the verse is, for our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's our hope. That's our faith. And that's why we last. We endure the struggles, the troubles, and the trials, not only of life, but of Christian living. Every opposition provides an opportunity for us to stand on God's side and let folks know to whom we belong. That's the lesson. I don't know what next Lord's Day is going to be. I don't have these plans. Always on Lord's Day evening, or anytime we assemble together, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Whichever will may come, if you're not a member of the New Testament Church, you're very welcome to make that decision public this evening while we're gathered here to share with you in that decision. One who has breath for strength or encouragement, we can accomplish that. Whosoever will may come. Let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If that's your resolve to respond to public, please do so while we're